session number 17301, reel 2.
Mr. Zurakovsky, reel 2. Were you taken to another prison in Chernigov?
Yes. There was ex-monastery, huge buildings, and then start interrogation proper. Especially there was nasty person, Greek, which was very, very nasty, you know.
A Greek?
Greek man.
Was he working for the NKVD?
NKVD, yes, NKVD. On the territory of Soviet Union, there was always a NKVD, nobody else interrogated us, only NKVD. And from Chernihiv, they took us to Kiev for 3 days, and there was a woman which was interrogate us. Me, of course. And she was quite a woman, you see. Very low cut here, you see. And her method was like this, that she put, sit very close to you, and put her two knees between your knees, you know. And she have iron rule. And she was, you know, doing this. You know, hitting your knee all the time.
With a ruler?
With a ruler. Not hurting you, just, you know, putting. And she was talking about school, about teachers, about home, and all these questions which you got to be very careful. I was in Chernihiv together with my brother in the one cell. So we learned to telling what we're going to say. And then she was asking about girlfriends, Boy Scouts, you know, all schooling, teachers. She was putting another question, which you got to be very careful what you are answering. And this was rather tiring, you know. When she finished, you really feel very, very, tired. Very tiring. Well,
was she trying to trap other people?
I can't tell you nothing. She was doing me like this, you know. I can't tell you anything else. Nothing else, nothing happened there, you know. This. And funny that when you was in the cell in the Kiev, there was about 2 or 4 beds in the one room. And they come very, very quietly, asking, waking you up and keeping you silent and taking you there. I remember, when you come out from the cell and you walking and somebody else coming across, they straight away put your face to the wall and you mustn't move the head. You mustn't see anybody. And there's another person passing through. Then when they going to, they from the prison in Kiev, they took us somewhere where they interrogate us. And they, for waiting, they put us in the cupboard which you can only stand attention, and you were shut in the front. In this, like this, company was waiting, you know. And in one, there was a woman. When I come out, I saw her falling, you know, or fainting or falling, you know, like this. But I can't tell you much. She just asked, not this is what I can say, nothing else.
What kind of things did they want to know?
Who sent us? Why we? Because we were saying that we are going to France to fight Germans. They say, who sent you? What organization? And we always were saying, nobody else. We only going on our own account. We won't fight against Germans. This is our object. We have nothing against the Soviet Union. We have nothing against them. We only was going to fight against Germans. And we stick to this all the way through. And after this interrogation, they brought us back to the Chernihiv, and they sent us, sentenced us, 5 years heavy labor camp. And our 58 paragraph I think 58, I'm not very sure now, but I think our paragraph was 58, crossing the frontier to the escaping from the country.
Had you had any contact with home whilst you were in prison?
No. First contact with the family I have in the Totskoye, in Polish army, when my brother found me and visited me.
Did you have a trial?
No. You see, I was sent by three men of NKVD, the higher court of the Soviet. It's called Troika NKVD. And they sent me for 5 years.
How did you feel when you heard the sentence?
I can't answer you this. I don't know. My colleague, a young man from Lvov, he was much younger than me, only about 16. And when they give him the same sentence, he was laughing and say, this is rude, you see, very sorry. That he will survive these 5 years standing not on the legs, but on his pennies. And this man who read us the sentence say, look, you will live, but you never will think about making love. And this was very, very well described our sentence. You see, that we live, but nothing else. We only live, you know, and think all the time about food, all the way.
What happened to you after the sentence?
So they took us to the train, and when we was walking towards the station, from the side of the street come the chappy which was driving the horses, but he lead the horse. And he come to this road where we was going, try to see us. But few soldiers straight away come to him and shouting on him that he got to turn the horse away, you know, and push him away. You see, this is never allowed to see these things. And they brought us to the train, which was a special train, Stolypinka, made for the prisoners. Stolypinov invented these trains for the prisoners. And they packed us very many to the compartments. And my compartment was next to the compartment where woman was. And funny enough, that there was young woman, never saw her. No, I did. I did saw her in the Vologda later. She was a daughter of the professor of university in Lvov. And she was sentenced similarly what I. So we have something to talk, you know, going there. We went to Leningrad. In Leningrad, they stopped us and put in the prison, which was factory for the lorry, extension lorries. Not lorry, but this like a car, like extension for the lorries. And this was a very, very elegant prison. We were sitting in the cells where was no doors, but bars. And we could see people in another cell, and we could talk with them. When we was taking, you know, I can't tell you where I was taking, we saw the rooms of the prisoners who was working. There was two beds, they have like a cupboard, radio there, little carpet, was very excellent. So when we start talking, these people were saying that this is the prison for the show. They show this prison for the foreign guests, as an example, how Russia, Soviet Union treat the prisoners. And from there, we went to Vologda. In Vologda, I met Pankiewicz, Polish fellow who was in Humań, is from Humań, and he knew my family before war, you see, before revolution, you see. And he get sentenced 4 year labor camp for interpreting radio from English to Russian people. And for this he get 4 years. I also meet there huge man, I can't tell you what nationality, but he could carry basket of bread on one hand. And when he saw this girl, which I meet in the train, he was carrying her bag with her belongings. Like little, you know, it was so huge, like little bag, like it was very, very funny. This. And of course, you know, with us, when we were in the Stanislavov, we knew what going on, so we prepare ourselves. I make myself bag from the old shirts, because when we was going to the bath, which was every week, once a week we was going to bath, where was all our clothes was taken to the flea killing steam. This was this, and we developed a way of the pinching the shirts. You tear up your shirt in two, and when you was giving, you say you're giving two shirts, and you can get two shirts for two halves. You can get. You didn't worry about neighbor who won't have anything. You know, they will provide probably. You see, so like this, we pinch these things, and I make a bag which was very useful through all my prison way. You see, because we have everything. Of course, a lot of things was taken off, like a back from the belt. You see, a lot of things was taken. But I went on the frontier in the sheepskin covered with the cloth. Like a jacket, and this in this steam in the disinfection place was all broken, dry, terrible. So I got this take out and I left without nothing. So it was like this. So we came there from Vologda. They took to Arkhangelsk, to huge camp, but Arkhangelsk was enormous camp. Being in the summer, this is some sort of like a June, or June, July, this time, there was day all the time, you know, there's no night. Sun never goes. So this is so tiring. You count the time by the food, when they give food. There was very big shortage of the water. They make it from the two plugs, like a trough, and they pour the water to this this section of the prison or this camp, to this section, and of course everybody ran, you know, to get this water. Most of this water was got on the ground and wasted, you see. But people, you know, like animals, you know, run there for this water. It's very difficult, you see, if you are not organized and you have no your group which fight together, you lost. You see, the bigger trouble there was people which never joined nobody. You see, you got to have a group against another group. Then you're winning. So this was terrible. Then I meet the happened. There was argument of two Soviet men. I can't tell you nationality, but really, they are Soviet people. And one was ex-revolutionist from the, he was on the Don, on the River Don, he was a doc. Who is working in dockyard?
Docker.
Docker. He was docker on the Volga. And he joined a revolution as an 18-year-old boy, and he became one of the Troika and KVD, you know, one from this man. So he was very trusty man and very, very revolutionist. And he was sent for inspection to prison camps where they built the Białomor Canal. This means canal between the White Sea and Baltic. And he went there and he write report such that they sentenced him for 25 years prison for this report. And he was telling me that when he was in the Moscow, he believed that Soviet life, people life, is good. He said he was going to the Black Sea, to the Dacha, you know, on the holiday, with his family, which family was in special schools. He was taken by the plane. He was surrounded by the same people as he was, and he never met the ordinary people here. All what he have reports and people that he worked with. And when he went to the Białobor Canal and he saw what happened there, how many people are died, then he write a real report, and they sentenced him for this for 25 years.
Because he told the truth about
them. He tell what he found. You see, what they were saying, that on the railway, where I was building railway, on the Komiser to Vorkuta, that under every
sleeper,
after under every sleeper, there's two heads. You see, railway is built on... by the so many people that died. And then they took us on the boat. Only I can't tell you this boat was wooden or steel one. I can't tell you. They make all this hole, like floors. Many, many of us was there, really many. And when it was bad weather, this ship was so squeaking, you know, that you thought that it's a bit more and this will be broken. It's terrible, this noise. And terrible things, you know, because you have black plugs with the piece of wood when you come out, and you was going to a lavatory there. Of course, you use sea as a lavatory. And if you was weak and didn't hold well enough to this bars, you see, on which are on the top of the ship was, you easily could fall down there. You know, if somebody was weak and boat move, you can go easy to this. Of course, when somebody fell in the water, they were shooting. They always shot. You know, when somebody drowned, they always shot. You see, because they calculate amount of the people with the bullets. Bullets was making up this amount of people when they should bring them. Terrible this, you know, because there was food supply, bread supply. You know, this permanent fight. And you see, again, if you have group, you get together and this group was watching, you're carrying your bread. Nobody can pinch. So because most of us was poor, divide very, very fair bread. So a lot Uzbeks and Kazakhs joined us. So I can't tell you how long we was traveling there. Quite a few days, you see. So our group, you know, from the small, come quite a large one. And this was very useful for me, personally, later on. Because I knew a lot of people which was working outside the camp, for example, cutting the wood for the guard, or cooking for the guard. And these people, when they saw me, always helped me, give me bread, give me a bit of soup, you know, all this thing, which was very, very useful later. You know, friendship in the prison camp is going very, very far, very far. And then, sorry, they brought us to the Narian Mar. This is the Komi SSR at the mouth of the Pechora. I haven't seen no buildings, no nothing. There was planks to the bank, and this bank was like a steps, huge steps, you know, made by the sea, you know, and from the stones. So they put these plugs there, and we, one by one, come out from there. Of course, they straight away put us into the brigades, because a unit on the prison camp is always brigade. So they put us into the brigade, and I remember we was all standing, and come out from there, few, 12, 15 people, all in the white long robes, with their little round hats, and one was holding second on the arm from the behind, you see, like this, you know, the arm. And they was all walking. And all they come out from this, you know, planks, then come along us, you see, when we were standing in brigade. Of course, there was really emotional picture, you see. Lot of people was laughing at this, and we, where we were standing, we was just silent, you know. There was all blind people. These Uzbeks, Kazakhs, were blind people, you see. So this was like this. And then they give us picks, shovels, axes, you know, sacks with the food. Everybody have something. And we was going towards the Kozhba. If you like, can show you the map, how this looks. Okay.
I'll look later.
So we was towards the Kozhba in this direction. This is roughly about 700 kilometers. Only before us, there were surveyors which put the line. And we was cutting the trees first, taking all roots out, and cleaning the square, so much wide, so much long, to the clay. But there was all clay. There's all pine trees. So we go to clean this, you know, area, burn everything, lay down the lezhnyovka. Lezhnyovka is a rod made from the trees, this sort of length, which are timber laid next to timber. And this way called lezhnyovka, laying down, you see. And this was like this for the using of the horses and carts. When we finished this, we was going again through another forest, another people which working there, to another new place, and we again have this sort of area we got to clean. And like this, we came then to the Ukhta, over the river place, where winter came. And then we build the camp. Of course, first you're building the camp for the guard, then you're building the camp for allowing us, you know, this Boshomoika, this place where you steam your clothes. Then you build the bath, then you build the kitchen, then you build the area, of course, you know, first area where you stay, that you can't escape. Then you build yourself, for yourself, the tents and barracks. All from the local trail on the spot. This was very hard work. A lot of people died. We slept, you know, when it was rain, we lay down on the Lezhnyovka. You see, it was terrible. People, you know, getting completely mad, you know, start arguing with the guard. Of course, a guard always saying like this, one step outside this line, I will shoot without telling you that I'm shooting, you see. So in this case, when somebody was mad and argue, went there, they shoot him. So a lot of people was killed. And you see, your clothes was wet, your shoes went down. You know, it was very, very tough period. And then we come to this camp where we built in Kozhba, 41 number. This called Colonia 41. And there was a lot different people, But also, you know, they give us, at the gate, there was barrels with the broth cooked from the pine tree needles. There was dark green, brownish green water, very, very bitter, and it was against
scurvy.
And we drink. And these people who drink, you see, I was together with my brother. We always argue, you see, and he always forced me to drink this. He drink and forced me. You see, he lost the eyesight. I lost my hearing through this, you know, lack of the vitamin B. I get, you know, on the back, scurvy, up to the, you know, to my shoulders. You know, this terrible. This wound is like a running open wound. Painful, terrible, you know, terrible. You know, when we was, for example, digging the, already on the, building the railway, because we built the railway from the Kozhba towards the Vorkuta, and we landed the abyss. But you see, when you dig the pit, you come and this ice is on the top of the water. You go to smash the ice and go, you know, to the water, you know, and dig it. You're going with the boots, but you're taking your trousers off. And you take with the jacket, which getting wet, but you take it off and you're going naked, but with the boots, you see, there. And you dig out this terrible work, you know. So a lot of people get there, you know, diseases, you know, and terrible, you know. Food was brought in the morning. They was giving us bread and coffee. Of course, this was very, very quickly gone. Bread was very difficult because, you see, brigadier was bringing to brigade and a lot of people was determined to pinch. And when you didn't hold like this, they used to come and grab like this from your hands. If anybody called like this person, they was lynched on the spot. Terrible thing. Killing people, my people, is terrible thing. But they did.
You mean hanged?
No. Beat my hands, by kicking, you know, just making him, you know, dead. Terrible. Because we never have anything, you know. We were all prisoners. So we punished this thief, you know, ourselves. Terrible, you know. This really is terrible thing, you know. Lynching the person is terrible, terrible.
But did you see this?
Yes, I saw, yeah. I saw later on, but this man, like a jumping, like a, you know, his body was moving like this. It was terrible.
Jerking,
terrible. Terrible this. And so we have this, then we have this coffee. We was going on the, of course, you come out on the from the barrack, they count you. They all the time count you, you see. And you going to the, in the tents or in the aids, you know, outside. You carry your old tools, which supposed to be in the night, sharpened and repaired, never was. So this was terrible things, you know. You come to the, digging the earth, and they come, Dormirovshchik. Dormirovshchik is the person who give you norm for the day. Norm of the day was depends on the weather, of the work, of the everything. This was terrible thing because you see, everybody was trying to cheat the Dormirovshchik. Of course, he was clever. And all these arguments, you know, all this was very often this, if you try to cheat,